Yes, Swamiji. Yes, Swamiji. It's on.
All right. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayoh Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashe Makshabhiryajatraha Sthirai Rangai Stushtuvagum Sastano Vihe Vyashema Devahitanyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha Swastina Starkshyo Aristanimihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti 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 Hari Om. Om. O gods, may we always hear with our ears what is auspicious. O worshipful ones, may we with our eyes always see what is auspicious. May we live our allotted life hale and hearty, offering our worship unto thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards us. May Brihaspati ensure our welfare. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we have been studying the sixth mantra of the Mandukya Upanishad. And this sixth mantra tells us something very important. Esa Sarveshwaraha, Esa Sarvajnaha, Esa Antaryami, Esa Yo Sarvasya Prabhavapyayauhi Bhutanam. This, that means the Ishvara, is the Lord of all. He is the knower of all. He is the controller from within. He is the source of all. And He is that from which everything originates and in which everything, all things, finally disappear. We are talking about in the third mantra, the Upanishad had described graphically what is the waking state. In the fourth mantra, the dream state, Sapnavastha, is graphically described. And in this fifth mantra, we are learning from the Upanishad what is the nature of the deep sleep, but from the individual point of view, Vyasti, Drishti. But in the sixth one, same Sushupti Avastha from the Samasti point of view. And so it is being said, when Prajna, that is the Turiya, who puts on the dress, a peculiar dress, suitable for experiencing this third state called deep sleep, when this person, he puts on this one and he doesn't know, he becomes totally merged in the universal. And that universal is called Ishvara. So this is what being described here. This Prajna is an Ishvara from two points. As an individual, like a seed, which is the creator and which is the sustainer and also which is the destroyer of everything in this world. For example, there is a mango tree and that mango tree has come from a mango seed. That is called Srishti. And this mango seed in the form of prana, etc., fully manifests and then maintains that state of the mango tree, and in the end, there is that potentiality for every grown-up tree. It will become again into received, merge itself with all its powers into the state of a seed. That is most important for us. But so it is an Ishvara in a way of speaking of its individual Jagradavastha and individual Swapnavastha. But in this third stage, Sushupti state, the Prajna becomes merged, and the beauty of it is he doesn't even know that he is merged, because everything, the experiencer, experienced, Vishva and Virat, Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha, Prajna and Ishvara, they all as if become merged, as it were, with a thin layer of separation, which will, again, when we wake up, it is that thin layer, avidya, through which we come. For our practical purpose, it is enough to know that this is what Upanishad is telling. Everything in this world is coming from Ishvara, and it is sustaining in Ishvara, and it merges back in Ishvara. And I will give you two examples of this. One example is that of a rope and snake. Rope, just consider Ishvara. Where from this snake is coming out? From a rope. And so long as there is semi-light, not enough light, we continue to see that rope, imagining it is a snake. So, as if this snake is being sustained by the rope. And when light is brought, what happens to the snake? It doesn't disappear. It retains its state, full state, which is called the rope state. This is a beautiful example. We have to understand it. So also, a jivatma, it thinks, I am a jivatma for mysterious reason, because of maya. So, but it is this jivatma is coming only from Paramatma. As if, you have to remember this example, the snake has never come out of the rope, and never living in the rope, never becomes merged. Partial knowledge of the rope is called the beginning, the srishti of the snake. And that partial knowledge remains so long as there is not enough light. But when enough light is brought, the full knowledge of the rope, then the partial knowledge of the snake or rope becomes merged, as it were. Even though there is no emergence there, it is only a thought process, cognition process. Then it realizes, I am a rope. In this example, the rope thinking that I am a snake, Parameshwara thinking I am the Jivatma. That is how we have to understand. Now, interestingly, there are two terms used for this Rishti Krama. One, all dualists believe creation is very real. So, they are called realists. All Dvaitins are realists. So, what do? They say Ishvara has really become this world without losing his real nature. For example, they give, milk has become curds. Milk no longer in our experience remains as milk. Once it becomes curds, the milkness has gone, curdness has come forever. Now, this was the objection raised by Advaitins. For that, the Advaitins reply, it is true, but God has got a special power. He can transform himself into the world and yet also remain himself. This is called Parinamavada, real transformational theory. There is Advaita theory, it is called Vivartavada. Vivarta means appearance. For that, the rope appears to become the snake, has never become, has never retained, and will not become merged also. All the time, there is no snake at all. Only partially understood rope, and after some time, fully understood rope, and by that partially understood rope, creates all sorts of fear, dissatisfaction, desire, etc., etc. Just to derive a little bit of fun. So who can derive benefit from thinking that this is a snake? Well, another snake, you know, snakes eat snakes. Supposing another snake mistook a rope, it never really, it never does it. You know why? Because every snake emits a particular type of smell and it has a signature and the prey animal. Another snake, big snake, it understands. So this is a false snake. It appears like a snake, but it is really not a snake. It has got that sense. It will never run after it. It is only poor human beings or some animals also can mistake it like that. Anyway, the point is that this is called Vivartavada, the theory of appearance, because anything that transforms has to change. And if it changes, then it won't retain its original nature. So, if light changes, it has only one option. It becomes darkness. If pure consciousness changes, it has only one option, to become non-conscious, jada, inert, etc. But that nobody will accept. Anyway, now coming back to our sixth mantra, from the viewpoint of Ishvara, Ishvara is the lord of Maya, whereas we are the slaves, subservient to Maya, called avidya. Maya acting on each individual is called avidya. And same avidya that remains under the control of Ishvara is called Maya. He is the Mayadisha, we are Mayadhinas. And so the entire creation, remember, I am, when I am experiencing waking state, individually I am called Vishwa, cosmically I am called Virat. When I am experiencing dream state, individually I am called Taijasa, cosmically or universally I am called Hiranyagarbha. Similarly, in the deep sleep state, as an individual I am called Pragna, but as the universal I am called Ishvara. The difference is that this Ishvara, he knows everything, he is the ruler of everything, he is the indweller of everything, and from him the whole thing comes, and everything depends for its existence upon him, and ultimately it realizes its nature, and then it understands, I am Brahman. So that is what this mantra wants to tell us. If you have understood this much, what I have just now outlined, then we know the meaning of this sixth mantra. Eshaha means this Ishvara, Sarveshwaraha. He is manifesting in the form of Hiranyagarbha, in the form of Virat, and he is Ishvara. From him, the Jagrat Prapancha, Swapna Prapancha, and Sushupti Prapancha, Karana Prapancha, Avidya Prapancha spring up. Therefore, He is Sarveshwaraha. Because we have to understand this word. Ishvara means, like, for example, they give this example. A pot has come or made out of clay. And the pot is nothing but clay. In fact, there is nothing called pot. Then what is the pot? It is the clay and nothing but clay in the form with a particular name and with a particular purpose. This is called a pot. Vacharambanam vikaro namadheyam. Chandogya Upanishad beautifully outlines it. These are mere words. But reality is, object is only Brahman. There is nothing but Brahman. But the same Brahman, like the clay, if you make a billion pots out of clay, there is not one single object that has separate characteristic than clay. When you touch billion pots, the same touch as clay. When you smell, same smell as clay. When you taste, same taste as clay. When you sound it out, same sound as the clay. And when you see it, same form like the clay. There is nothing called pot. There is nothing called an ornament apart from pure gold. And there is nothing called furniture apart from the wood. This is a marvelous point we have to always keep in mind. But because of our attention is focused on Namarupa. Jagrat Prapancha, one type of name and form. Dream state, one type of name and form. And qualities are Prayojana. Similarly, in the Sushupti state, only difference is the Namarupa get merged, but I am not enlightened, we are not enlightened. Why? Because until we know that I am Ishvara, I am Brahman, I am Paramatma, there is no knowledge will be there. That's why Swami Vivekananda explains, which I quoted umpteen number of times, when a fool enters into deep sleep, he wakes up a fool only. But when a fool enters into samadhi, he wakes up as fully enlightened. What is enlightened soul? I am Brahman. That is it. So, Esha Sarveshwaraha. So, just like clay is the lord of the pot. In other words, to say that the clay has no separation, that is the meaning of Sarveshwara. Esha Sarvajnaha. Clay knows, I am clay. So, clay knows about the pot. I am nothing but clay, but in the form of the pot. And Antaryami. Antaryami means that which is the indweller. Indweller means that which sustains. So, a pot is sustained inside, outside, above, below, everywhere, all of the pot by its existence, by its chit, and by its ananda swarupa. So, that is why sat chit ananda is inside, outside, you cannot say. But there is a peculiarity. When we experience Brahman through the sense organs, it is called Sat. When the same Brahman in the form of the objects is experienced as a thought, it is called Chit. And when the same we come to know, then we become very happy people, and that is called Ananda Swarupa. Why Ananda? Because when we come to know we are nothing but Brahman, there is no friend, there is no enemy, there is no sukha, there is no dukkha, I am Ananda Swarupa. I don't lack bliss. I am bliss. I don't need to struggle for bliss. I am infinite. Therefore, the desire to become infinite completely vanishes from my mind. So, Esha Sarveshwaraha, Esha Sarvajnaha, all-knowing. Who knows better than clay? What is a pot? Because the clay is everything that we call the pot. So, it knows everything as one's own self. Here, I will add something. very important point, you will have to note it down. How do we get knowledge? So here is the, very simply put, here is the theory that the mind, through the sense organs, goes out and envelops, for example, a tree, envelops the entire tree and brings it inside its mind itself and becomes identified with it. And to the extent the mind is identified with the object, to that extent it will transform itself into knowledge. This is the Indian theory, and some of the Western philosophers also agree with that. This is the theory of knowledge. So, if you take this example we were quoting, the clay knows that I am 100% the pot. Therefore, its knowledge of the pot is 100%, because it knows pot is none other than myself. 100% identity. So, extending the example I gave, if I am identified with any object, 5%, my knowledge will be 5%. For example, if I see a man, I see that the whole person is covered with a veil, and only the face, a little bit of the face is seen. Many terrorists, they put on this kind of dress. So when this person puts on that veil, we see only that a bit of the face, and our mind goes, takes that information, becomes identified with it. Let us say 5% of that person I am able to see. So my knowledge of that person will be 5%. Supposing that person completely reveals his whole head, then my knowledge will be maybe 10 to 15%. As he goes on peeling himself, as I am able to perceive that person, ultimately I am able to see that person 100% and identify with that vritti, and that is what is called chit, and I have knowledge of the entire person. But here also we have to go a little bit deep. However intelligent a person is, or I am, or you are, I can only see the body, identify myself with that body, because I already know what is my body, and therefore I can imagine he is also having blood, he is having a skin, and he may be an Indian, he may be having slightly fair complexion. This is how the knowledge comes. But I know nothing about that person's mind. Therefore, my knowledge of that person's mind is completely hidden. Therefore, very partial knowledge only. But when a Sri Ramakrishna looks at you, at me, he looks the inside of our whole mind, as it were, as he himself expressed, an object kept in a beautiful almirah with crystal clear glass case. Everything is seen, what is inside. So what is our thought? Every single thought. Not only they can see every single thought, they can also see what thoughts are still in a dormant state and may come up in future. That also they understand it. So this is how we have to understand. Then we come to the Antaryami. So all these things, he is the origin, he is the sustainer, he is the recycler, he is absorber. All these four epithets, he is Sarveshwaraha, he is the Lord of all, he is Sarvajnaha, all-knowing, and he is Antaryami, he is pervading inside, outside everything, and he is the cause of this entire universe, he is the sustenance of the entire universe, and he is the recycler or liberator or merger of this entire universe. Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. So these four epithets we can understand as God is the creator. Just like clay, you say clay is the creator, potter is not the creator. You have to understand. When a potter makes a pot, he is only Nimitta Karana. But here, this Ishvara is not only Nimitta Karana, that is intelligent cause, he is also the Upadana Karana, or the material cause. Therefore, every object that we see is nothing but a representation of nothing but Ishvara, Sat Chit, Ananda. But that vision can come to us only when we really practice spiritual disciplines. That's very important for us to understand. So, with this, Eshaha means Ishvara, that is, that who in the deep sleep state, because deep sleep is the cause of the both waking and dream states. So, Ishvara is the cause of Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. And we have to understand this entire creation is going through these three states one after the other. But he is remaining as a witness, the whole universe, as if he created, as if he is the maintainer, as if he is the reabsorber. But we have to understand, just as the clay has not created the pot, but is manifesting with the name and form of pot, so Ishvara is manifesting as this entire universe in all the three states, in the waking state, dream state, dreamless state. With this understanding, let us go to Shankaracharya's this one. Eshahi Swarupavastaha. Eshahi means Ishvara's Swarupavastha. That is real, real state, his real nature. Sarveshvaraha. He is the Lord of everything because he is everything. And what is that everything? Sa adhidaivikasya bheda jatasya sarvasya. Ishvaraha. Eshaha Ishvaraha. That is describing the Jagradavastha condition. We see billions and billions of everything. We call it the world. And this world contains the ruling powers of God and everything that is physical and everything that is our own body-mind, called beautifully Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika and Adhidaivika. All these three put together, this is, he is the Sarveshvara, he is the Ishvara. Therefore, that is his most natural, real, one's own state of Ishvara. So, sa adhidaivikasya, including all the ruling powers. Bhedayathasya, for us, everything is different from everything else. For him, every pot is made up of the same clay, made up of my own self, made up of my own vrittis, my own thoughts. Sarvasya, of everything, living as well as non-living. Naitasmat jatyantar bhutaha anyeshamiva. Etasmat means apart from the Ishvara, jatyantara, another species called anishvara or jada, it doesn't exist. Na anyeshamiva means just like, you know, we have got, we see this is a tree and that is a man, that is a bird, etc. We see everything as different. But this Ishvara, besides this pure consciousness, that is what we have to understand. Ishvara means jati, antara. Antara means another jati, another species. Apart from Ishvara, there is nothing exists. Then this is the, it is a very favorite methodology of Shankaracharya. Whenever he expresses an idea, he supports it by giving profuse quotations from the scripture. Pranabandhanam hi Somya Manaha. This is from the Chandogya Upanishad, about which we have discussed it. Here, Manaha means Jivatma. Prana means Ishvara. So, what is it? This Jivatma is forever tied with the Ishvara. In other words, Jivatma is, there is nothing, no other separate species called Jivatma, whether it is body-mind, whether it is body, whether it is mind, whether it is Sushupti, Avidya, all the everything is deeply related with the Ishvara. How is related? In the form of Virat, the entire waking world is related. In the form of Hiranyagarbha, the entire dream world is related. In the form of the sleep states, Karana Prapancha, the whole Karana Prapancha is nothing but Ishvara's manifestation. So Ishvara is Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyagarbha is Virat, Virat is Vishva. That is how we have to understand. But I will repeat it once more. Ishvara manifests on one side as Prajna. And Ishvara manifests again, degenerates as it were into Hiranyagarbha. And Hiran, part of Hiranyagarbha is Taijasa. And Hiranyagarbha still grossifies himself. He is called Virat. And Virat, from the individual point of view, is called Vishva. That is to say, there is no difference between Vishva and Virat, Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha, and Prajna and Ishvara. Therefore, he is Sarveshvara. And then, we have discussed in our last class, just as Ramakrishna's quotation, there is a bird, and it was sleeping, and then suddenly the ship was put to the ocean, and after many hours, the bird woke up, and then he saw here and there, it was searching for a place of real security. It could not find, even after flowing in all the four directions. Then it came to where it is tied. And then it understood, where I am tied, that is the safest place, that is the most secure place. What is the inner symbolism? That the Jivatma is forever tied, as if tied. Really it is not tied, as if tied to Ishvara, and it is trying to find security in something other than Ishvara. So it searches in the waking state, comes back. It searches in the dream world, it comes back. Then it searches in the dreamless state, deep sleep state, then it doesn't find, it comes back. Then it wakes up. And then it becomes tired. It gets vairagya. And then it says, now I will completely surrender myself to Ishvara, and that is where I can get. And in course of time, it becomes one with Ishvara by the grace of Ishvara. The same idea is beautifully illustrated in the Mundaka Upanishad in the form of there is a tree and there are two birds of golden hue, and then one is at the lowest branch, another is on the highest branch, and this lower bird on the lowest branch, it goes on eating both sweet as well as bitter fruits. Whenever it tastes an exceptionally bitter fruit, it looks up and then it understands that the other bird is extremely happy. If I go there and sit there, I can also be very happy. So what does it do? It just goes, hops one branch up, and then it again becomes involved in Maya, and again going on eating. Then a bitter experience comes. Then it moves forward to higher, higher and higher and higher, and after a long time, it reaches the highest state. And then do you know what it discovers? There is no upper bird. It is nothing but the pure photograph, as I am putting it in that sense, the upper bird, which seems to be the most happy bird, is nothing but a photograph of its real self, a reflection, as it were, of the real self. So, this is what we do. You want to become a musician, you put the photograph of your favorite musician, and looking at him, derive inspiration, go on practicing, you become depressed after some time, but again seeing at the photograph, and you get re-enthusiasm, and move forward, and one day you realize that this highest ideal is not in that person, but that person is your creation at the highest ideal. In fact, it is nothing other than your own vritti. So this is how every being both living and as well as non-living, especially the living being, is traveling through this escalator called evolution. Ultimately, he will reach it. So, this is what has been said earlier. Then, this is the thread. And then, this is the Mahamatsya example also is given, which we will come to that a little bit later on. So, we are tied to Brahman, and Brahman only all the time. We are never away from Brahman. Why? To explain simply, do you want to experience waking state? What is the instrument? Consciousness. Do you want to experience dream? What is the instrument? Consciousness. Do you want to experience this most restful state called Sushupti? What is the instrument? Consciousness. You are conscious completely, both the Jagradavastha, Swapnavastha, Sushupti Avastha. How do we know? Because what do you say? That I was in the waking state, I was in the dream state, I was in the deep sleep state, again I am in the same waking state. So, but not simultaneously, that's a beautiful word, we will come to it very shortly. Not simultaneously, but sequentially, from the Jagradavastha, you completely remove all the dress belongs to the Jagradavastha, don, put on the dress appropriate to the dream state, and then after some time you get tired of it, and then you completely remove it, and don what is called birthday dress, and enter into the pure deep sleep state, and again you remove it, and you feel ashamed, others are looking at me, and don the Jagradavastha dress. This is how whole evolution, from billions of births, we are going through the three states, and rarely we rest in between these three states. But a time will come, we get very tired of this ever cyclically recurring processes, and we want to get out, and that is the beginning of what is called Jignasu Avastha. Then a Sadguru will come to give us the right direction, and by the grace of God, and we one day reach and say, what do we say? That I was never born, I was never living, I was never bound, I was never awakened, but these were all thoughts in somebody's mind, not my mind at all. You know, sometimes we say, somebody has done, so in anger, something unworthy. And after some time, when he cools down, he says, that was not me, that was somebody else. As if a ghost had taken possession of me at that time, but he disowns it. So even this idea is disowned. This is put so beautifully by Gaudapada, that there is no bondage, there is no salvation, there is no sadhaka, there is no sadhana, there is no mukti at all. This is all nothing but the highest truth, esha paramarthata. Anyway, we will come to that point later on. So, prana here means Ishvara, and the mind is ever tied to prana. Prana means what? Prana means consciousness. Jivatma is also consciousness, but so much covered up with these three bodies, sthula, sukshma, karana, shariras. And then this is the universal experience, and there was a great master Eckhart, a German, Advaitin. He says, everybody has got two eyes. One eye is always looking outside, that means the participator. Another eye is looking at things around, witnessing it. But the other eye is looking inside, looking and searching, as it were, into one's own being. This is called Sakshi. So finally, one discovers, after a lot of roaming, that there is no security elsewhere. Security is only in God. That is called castle of security. What is this castle of security? It is the self. When we enter into this castle, we are at peace. That is what the Upanishad is trying to tell us, in deep sleep, we temporarily enter the casual, but how to make it permanent? That is why a beautiful sadhana, a pathway is laid before us. So, Ayamevahi is Ishvara, Sarvasya, Sarvabheda Avastaha, Jnata Iti, Esha Sarvajna. This Ishvara, he knows all about the Sushupti state, he knows all about the dream state, he knows all about the waking state. How does he know? Because I myself am playing this part as Vishva, myself as Taijasa, myself as Prajna, I myself have become Virat, I myself have become Hiranyagarbha, I myself have become the remain as Ishvara. These are all my separate dresses. So, I know that whatever may be the differentiations that are experienced by an ignorant person, everything, he is the Sarvajna, because he knows what is Sarvajna, that everything is temporary. I am alone, permanent. I am Brahman. I am Sachidananda. And when a person understands that, he becomes a Sarvajna. For example, if a jiva knows everything about the body, it is impossible to know about the body. But supposing he knows, and he knows only, his knowledge is confined only to the body. He knows nothing about the outside world. He knows nothing about the inside world. Similarly, all our knowledges are fragmented, parts only. But because they like the clay, only is the pot. So, Ishvara is the Vishwa and Virat, Taijas and Hiranyagarbha, and Prajna and Ishvara. So, he knows that this is my waking state. This is what I do in waking state. I divide myself just as we divide ourselves in the dream state as the dreaming individual as well as the dreamt about world and as a witness also. So, ata eva esha antaryami. Therefore, this Ishvara, as that means every jiva as an Ishvara, in the reality of the Ishvara, is an antaryami. Antaryami means indweller. Indweller means there is no other jiva excepting Ishvara. There is no other potness inside or outside. It is only clayness. That is what. So what does he do? Antaha anupravishya sarvesham bhutanam yamayita niyantayapyesha eva. What does he do? Sarvesham bhutana. Of all beings, including mountains, rivers, etc. Antaha anupravishya. As if he had entered inside yamayita. That means he becomes the controller. Niyantapyesha eva. Just like a pilot enters into the cockpit and then goes on controlling the entire plane. This example is not good example, but just as to show the entire plane and the fate of the all the passengers and the fate of all the belongings that belong to the passengers and all the parts, the entire plane, everything is, as it were, depends upon the controlling power. And that controlling power, really speaking, the moment plane takes off, our lives are in the charioteer Krishna. Every pilot, you have to pray for his welfare. He doesn't become drunk. He doesn't become mad. He doesn't become fanatic, terrorist. Like that we have to pray. Then there is some chance we will land safely. So, antaha anup, sarvesham bhutanam antaha anupravishya. Having entered, just as clay, as if entered into the pot. Yamayita, he becomes the controller. Niyanta, he becomes controlling. This should be done now. This should be done later on. This was done in the past, etc. Therefore, he is called the inner controller. Not only that. So, ata eva, for all the given reasons above, sarveshvaraha, sarvagnaha, sarvantariyami, yathauktam, yathauktam, as it has been enumerated earlier, sabedam, with all the differentiations that we jivas experience, jagat prasu yate, this whole universe consisting of Jagrat Prapancha, Swapna Prapancha, and the Sushupti Prapancha. Iti esha yonihi sarvasya. He is the origin. Yonihi means origin. Sarvasya yonihi. He is the originator. That means he is the manifester. He alone has become all the worlds, and there is only one world. But if we put on completely black specs, then as if this is an example, that's an analogy. As if the whole world is black, Brahman is black, and if I put on some light colored specs, then it appears much better. This is comparable to the dream state, and no specs at all, that is comparable to the very thin colored specs, that is compared to the Sushupti state, and no specs at all, that is called Turiyam, that is called Brahmavastha. So, he is called Yonihi Sarvasya, because everything comes from him. That is why every day we him, Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam, Shakti Bhute Sanatane, Gunashraye Gunamayi, Narayanamati. Very important verse. Gunashraye means, he is the sustainer of Srishti Sthiti and Laya. And Gunamayi means, she herself has become the entire world, as it were. She is the sustainer of herself in the form of this entire universe. So, yataha evam prabhavascha apyayascha prabhava apyayohi bhutanam eshameva. This Ishvara alone is the originator, sustainer and destroyer, as it were, for the above mentioned reasons. Prabhavaha means originator, beginning. Apyaya means merging. Both Srishti, Sthiti, Laya is all because of him. And with this, the description of Sushupti Avastha from the universal or Ishvara point of view described. The essence of all that we have discussed so far is one Turiyam is going to, he puts on one type of dress, one type of specs. The important point we need to remember is there are no really three states called Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. No, there are no three states. Then what is there? Pure Satchidananda, pure Brahman, pure consciousness, Chaitanya. But as if because of the power of Maya, as I just now mentioned, when I put on one type of specs, it appears to be everything is different from everything else, and that is called Jagradavastha, and it becomes much subtler when I put on a different type of specs, and then when I remove, when very lightly tinted specs when I put on, that is called Sushupti Avastha. But if I remove all these specs, what I see in front of me is completely nothing but my own self. There is nothing but pure Brahman. Of course, in that state, one seeing the other, Brahman is seeing Brahman. This is only for the convenience of our understanding, linguistic limitation. But really speaking, even Brahman never says, I am Brahman. Only when there is somebody else, we have to introduce ourselves to that person. He doesn't know me. Therefore, we have to say, I am so-and-so, and this other person also says, I am so-and-so. But since Ishvara is one, the question of saying, I am Brahman, doesn't arise at all. These are limitations of human language. Now we have studied six mantras of the Mandukya Upanishad. From now onwards, Gaudapada steps in, and he begins the Karika. And nine karikas he gives, then he goes to other Upanishad mantras, then he continues for another 20 karikas later on. But what is important is, what does he want to say? Gaudapada is the grand guru, Paramaguru. Shankaracharya's guru was Govinda Bhagavatpada. Govinda Bhagavatpada's guru was this Gaudapadacharya. Gauda means Bengal, state of Bengal. Pada means an honorific, his lotus feet, his feet, as it were, Acharya, and he could think in such a marvelous way, even at, let us say, early 7th century or so, it is something mind-boggling that such highest ideas he can put, even though it is a bit of stiff language, but it is marvelous. Now what we have to understand, this he has composed these karikas about 253 or so, I don't remember the exact number, but what he wants to say is he wants to take all the six mantras that so far we discussed and put it in the easiest way possible, rephrase them so that we can understand. He is not going to follow word by word. He only takes up the meanings and wants to present it to us. So here, after the sixth mantra, there are nine verses are there. And for each of these karikas, Shankaracharya adds his own beautiful commentary. So we will enter into the very first karika, or karika means verse here, and that is Gaudapada karika. Bahishpragno vibhu vishvaha anta pragnastu taijasaha ghana pragna tadha pragna eka eva tridha smritaha. This is most wonderful. Vishwa, the first quarter, is he who is all-pervading and who experiences the external gross objects, jagrat prapancha. Taijasa, the second quarter, is he who cognizes the internal world, the subtle objects made up of completely only of thoughts. Pragna is the third quarter, he who is a mass of consciousness. It is that one alone who is thus known in the three states. Simple explanation today, eka eva tridha smritaha. So, who is the person who experiences the waking state? Who is the person who experiences the dream state? Who is the person who experiences the deep sleep state? Are they three people or is it one? And Gaudapada summarizes for us, eka eva, only one consciousness, tridha smritaha, is termed as by three names just to distinguish what is waking, what is a dream, and what is deep sleep state. But he is one only. Like one actor, he goes to the green room and he changes one dress, comes out. And again he goes back, puts on another dress, again he acts in the next scene. Third scene, he will go back, he will put on another dress, and then he will act according to the script. Now the point is, this actor knows, I only acted in the first scene, second scene, third scene. Even though I have put on three different dresses, I am but one. That, how does he know? Because of the memory. What is the memory? This memory is the most important thing. I was in the waking state, I was in the dream state, I was in the dreamless sleep, deep sleep state, nobody else, no third person has come, I have moved, having experienced the waking state for some time, moved to the dream state, having remained there for some time, I moved to the deep sleep state, having moved from there, again I have come back. So, that is one point. Only one Chaitanya, one consciousness, known by three names because of the three different dresses or three different ways of experiencing himself. Nobody else but himself. This is what we will discuss in our next class onwards. These nine verses, very profound karikas, but very, very clear also. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatgurum Padapadme Tayosritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti and understanding. Jai Ramakrishna.